Haggai then said, so it is with this people. And when this nation before me, says the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Now, this may sound a little strange, but these were some of the ritualistic guidelines already established in the book of Leviticus early on in the people of God's ancestry in their history. But what God is actually saying to the people of God, what he's explaining to them, is this, that holiness is transmitted by the Lord. That is, our being set apart, our moral and ethical purity, the way we live in right relationship with the Lord, that holiness is transmitted by the Lord. It is not transmitted by human beings. Well, human beings may have some influence on it, but it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that transmit holiness to people. Conversely, unholiness is transmitted by people to people. It is like a contagion, if you will. He continues, the second part of the life lesson and spiritual lesson here in verse 15. But now consider what will come to pass from this day on. Before a stone was placed upon a stone in the Lord's temple. So if you recall, they are in the process of building the Lord's temple. Before a stone was placed upon a stone in the Lord's temple, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and mildew and hail, yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. The Lord is reminding the people, even in the midst of their now building the temple, he's reminding them that there was a before life. There was a pre-holiness life, a before placing the Lord at the center of their lives. And that before life was self-centered and self-oriented, and it left things wanting in their relationship with the Lord, but also even materially. There are consequences for living apart and alienating ourselves from the Lord, is what he's explaining to them. This danger of being self-centered or self-oriented, it turns out to be a false positive. It turns out to be ruinous. There is, in understanding this in our context, there is what I call the error of inherited holiness. This idea that we can inherit through family or growing up in a Christian home or otherwise, that somehow we can inherit holiness, that we can inherit being made right before God in the first instance, or that we can inherit right living as we go about things. The error of inherited holiness. Oh, and then there's what I call the delusion of invincibility. This idea that I'm invincible, that nothing can affect me, that being in certain circumstances or being with certain people or so on doesn't affect me. And it reminded me of a commercial, a television commercial decades ago, back in the days when smoking was prevalent everywhere. I started work when smoking, you could still smoke in the workplace. It was actually just when they were starting to phase it out, and I was downtown Toronto, and people were taking their fines and posting them on their windows as bragging rights that how many tickets they could get for smoking in their office. But there was this television commercial about smoking, lung cancer was putting it out, and there was interviewing this guy, and he was saying, he just didn't think smoking affected him. He just didn't think there was any problem with it. The thing is, while they were interviewing him, he couldn't stop coughing. But relating that to a spiritual sense, that the delusion that we are invincible, that we can be in any kind of circumstance, in any kind of matter of life and not be affected by it, is simply not true. And if God is love, the more we alienate ourselves from God, who is love and peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and the further we get away from that, the more we are susceptible to its opposite. So the Lord was explaining to the people of Israel and to us today, because this prophetic message is for us all here today, is what life is like with God and also without God. So I want to reshape the question a little bit that we're working with here this morning, and that is, I want to ask the question, what is the outlook for people who prioritize the Lord? What is the outlook for people who prioritize the Lord? And when I say prioritize the Lord, I can even summarize it in three words. Jesus is Lord. That means that Jesus is the captain of my life. Jesus is the way I am going to live. The way he lived is the way I'm going to live. Jesus is Lord. And remember, what I'm saying this morning is that this is a promise from the Lord. It is not a prediction. We're not doing weather forecasting here. We're hearing from the Lord himself. Verse 18. Consider, from this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, consider the 13th day of July, 2025. Since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is there any seed left in the barn? Do the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree still yield nothing? From this day on, I will bless you. The outlook for people who prioritize the Lord, Yahweh, is two words, change and favor. Change or transformation and favor or blessing. There is certainly a before when life is before holiness, before relationship with the Lord. But all of that before is an empty promise, as I was saying, a false positive. But now, with the Lord, there is transformation and there is full promise. And the Lord draws evidence to that with the people of God. He draws evidence to say, before you started building, before you started prioritizing me, in your storehouses, on your shelves, there was always less than you had anticipated. There was always less than you actually needed. But since you have prioritized me in your life, demonstrated by your willingness to rebuild the temple, are those storehouses still empty? No, they are not. Are those shelves still empty? No, they are not. Because you have prioritized me, mark my words, he says, I am going to show favor upon you. This is what I call God's economy. This is the way he has decided things will function. He says, I see you. I know you. I see you before. I know you. And I love you. And when you are with me, I will bless you. I see you. I know all about you. I know the way you live. I know how you think. I know your thoughts, your feelings. I know you. I see you. And yet, no matter what, if you say, I am with you to the Lord says, I will bless you. Scripture is chock full of this. Whether in the New Testament or the Old Testament, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew says in chapter 6, he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things that you are concerned with will be given to you, will be added to you. Prioritize, sequence things. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The Old Testament in Micah talks about practical things like tithes and offerings. And the Lord says to the people of God, if you bring your offering to the temple, see if I will not bless you. He challenges us to test him with his blessings. Even in the Ten Commandments in Exodus, at the very outset of this, he was saying things like, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you in life. I mean, all through Scripture, the Lord is seeking to give us practical demonstration that if we follow him and we are with him, he will bless you. And what I find fascinating is the repeated time frame that he says here. Because what he is saying by mentioning the day and the month and the year is he is saying, mark my words. I mean, he's literally saying, mark my words. He's putting a day and a month and a year with references on it to say, you can put a fence post in, knock it into the ground on this day. This is what I'm telling you will happen. Favor. Barach. Barach. God's disposition toward his people. His disposition towards people who say yes to him. A disposition of kindness toward people. And this is, brothers and sisters, this is not earned. It is not meritorious. It isn't that we merit this. In fact, that's the whole point. He says, I know how you were like doing stuff before. It wasn't like you were living this great, amazing lives with me, and then I decided to do this. You were like all that, and yet when you say yes to me, just that yes to me, then I am with you, and I will begin to bless you. It's not earned or meritorious. It is God's choice. It is God's choice to bestow. So then Paul says in Romans, God demonstrates his love, or he demonstrates his favor toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you accept Jesus as Lord, you say, I accept, and I'm going to accept that that's the truth. Change begins. Scripture says you receive the Holy Spirit. They give you the Holy Spirit and it stamps your life, and your life changes. Like you were born in biological terms, you are now born spiritually and anew as well. Your change begins when you accept and follow Jesus as Lord. And when you follow, not just accept, but when you follow and live that way, you receive the Lord's barach, his blessing, his favor. This message to the people of God during Haggai's time, 520 BC, through the prophet, the Lord's message was meant to inspire and motivate them to keep going, to keep going, to inspire them toward a certain way of life. And it is meant to inspire us toward a certain way of life here as well. But I want to challenge you to think this morning, consider this morning, because that word consider in our English Bibles, in verse 18, that word consider is repeated twice. But in Hebrew, it starts and finishes with the word consider. And in Hebrew, they use three different words stacked on each other for consider. It's like in Hebrew, it's like the language is think, discern, really think about this. That's three for the word consider. And then at the end, he repeats it again, stacks three Hebrew words. Boosh, boosh, boosh. Consider, think, be critical, really analyze. And then it's also in the imperative. Challenging the people of God, challenging us to think critically about this. How our lives are motivated. To think critically this morning when I talk about change or transformation. The reality is, brothers and sisters, that all of us are changing. Those of you that study biology, you know this very well. You study this all the time. We are changing. The question is, and this is what the Lord was telling people about in terms of how things are transmitted and how change happens. The challenge for you to consider is the source of how you are changing and the trajectory in which you are moving as you change. You're changing. What is the source of that? What is the trajectory of that? Oh, and then we also need to think critically about what it means to be blessed. How do you define blessed or favor? I have been reflecting on this for quite some time. If it is true that the Lord says, if you follow me, I will bless you, then that must be true of every single follower in every country on this planet. So it cannot mean simply material possessions, because we have sisters and brothers in other places that are following the Lord who are not blessed materially at all. How do you define blessing and favor? Because that's going to skew and affect how we think about the promise that God is making about blessing and favor. And I think we have a great deal to learn from our friends in Congo and from our friends in Rwanda and some of our friends in other places who are understanding about relationship as a form of blessing. But then we must also consider, along with change and blessing, we also need to consider, does God really bless? Do we believe this? Do we believe that the promise is that if we follow him, he will bestow his favor upon us? Because some of you may be saying, well, I'm following the Lord, but I'm not feeling it. Or I'm following the Lord, but I have health concerns. I'm following the Lord, but my children are wandering away from the faith. I'm following the Lord, but I'm not experiencing the Lord's favor. That's why I say, refer to the previous point, how are we defining blessing and favor? And what does that mean? And can we actually believe that the Lord's promise is actually true? And if it is, what does that mean? I want to pause here since I've stirred things up a little for some Q&R. This is your chance to ask some questions. If you want to text or email to ask at westviewchurch.ca, you can do that, or you can stand where you are and ask your questions. In our summer services, we're slightly shorter than usual, so we're going to keep things tight here this morning. But if you have questions, I welcome them, and then we're going to keep going.
Sounds good. Let's jump into this one, Gary.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hey, sound team. Good morning. There we go. Slater just literally spent 3 weeks, it feels like, in Whitehorse, barely sleeping. So, bro, I got you.
It's darker than it is in Whitehorse right
now.
Yeah,
so true. Like, what is this darkness?
In the middle of the night.
Oh, man. How about this, Gary? I have seen the sentiment of Christians who want to, air quotes, be with the Lord already. Nothing morbid, but a slight apathy towards this life because it isn't heaven. Would this be prioritizing the Lord too much?
Okay, so being with the Lord, as in...
That being the blessing, maybe, versus the blessing of now.
Okay, yeah, as opposed to the blessing of now. Mm-hmm. That's good. And so I just want to touch on because that's a bit of an eschatological question, or an end times question, or a what is heaven kind of a question. I want to just be really direct here, that when Scripture uses the word heaven, it is referring to the abode of God, where Jesus physically is right now, and God and the Holy Spirit is present, but the Lord is right now, heaven. And so people that die, that are followers of Jesus, are with the Lord in heaven, or in God's abode with him. But ultimately, Jesus returns. And when he returns, he establishes a new earth and a new heaven here. This is the final chapter. It will be here. And so to think of escape like we want to go there because this is no good here is between the two philosophers of Plato and Descartes, that's philosophy, it's not theology. So whatever we do here in the present that is kingdom-oriented has eternal significance. Every act of kindness and gentleness, everything that we do here. And so when we say, I would like to be with the Lord, and listen, I have over my pastorate of decades been with people of all in all the stages of their lives. And I understand there comes a time when they want to be with the Lord, they want to be present with him because of the ailments and difficulties of their life. But it's not escapism. But what we are doing here, for example, this serve team that went and was in Whitehorse, there is eternal significance to every act of kindness and goodness and love. So what we do here matters immensely. One theologian said, Jesus is returning, so plant a tree. But I hope that begins to at least
That's good.
Address it.
What do you think is the Lord's blessing?
Ooh. Right? Yeah. Oh, I like that. I was kind of priming you for that. Because there is, in a sense, there is a personal response, like in your conversation with the Lord, personally you're interacting, and then there's a corporate. But if it is true, regardless of location, then I'm going to turn this around before I respond. What could it possibly be, the ultimate of favor or the ultimate of blessing? It's in his name from the Old Testament and New Testament. He says, I am. He says, I am with you. In the first instance, the Lord's blessing, when he says, I am with you, and we've been saying this now for a couple of weeks, he is not speaking geographically, because God, by his Holy Spirit, is present everywhere geographically. But when he says, I am with you, it means that the creator of the universe is for you, is present in your circumstance, and is desirous to help and equip and enable you in that. You can't recruit a better person, resource, or anything else other than the creator of the universe to be present in our church, to be for and an advocate and equipper of our church, or you personally. So the blessing must necessarily be at least the fact that the creator of the universe is with you, and not just geographically, but for you. And I think there's more to it. And I think that's a question you need to start writing down and conversing with the Lord about.
Yeah, that's good. There's a few more. We'll get to those offline here. Yeah. So we'll continue to answer your questions throughout the week. But thank you for that, Gary.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you, Tyler. Music team, I'm going to invite you back up here. I want to wrap this up here by just encouraging you with these words. There is a before holiness for every single person. The reality is that it is God who bestows holiness and righteousness. He gives it. He's the one who declares it. So for every single person, there is a before that. You may, in your testimony, whether you may say, I grew up in a Christian home, or whether you say, I grew up in a home where my parents were atheists, whether you have a dramatic testimony or you have an undramatic testimony, the reality is that for every single person, there was a before, and then God. And he is, by his Holy Spirit, speaking to every single person and prompting every single person and prompting them into relationship. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Those thoughts that come to you, those ideas that come to you, along with those feelings and the emotion that comes there. And at some point when you say, yes, I accept Jesus as Lord, your life begins to change. And if that is you here this morning, if that is you and you've said, yes, Jesus is Lord and my life is changing, then part of what we're talking about here this morning is, do you acknowledge the work of the Lord in your life that has changed your life? Do you recognize that it's the Lord, it isn't you? You received, you have been the benefactor, but it's the Lord. And if you do, if you recognize that, then followers of Jesus, at least above all other people, should be living lives of gratitude and thankfulness. My friends that live in Oaxaca and the Yereni on the side of the mountain, when we go to spend time with them, they spend a good portion of the service, and Kimberly and I don't understand a lot of Spanish, we understand some, but they spend a good portion of the service, you've heard me say this before, they say, gracias Dios, because they understand that it's the Lord who has changed their life, gracias Dios. That also must mean that how we look at people and how we treat other people, that has to have a bearing on it as well, because every person is just, I am every person before, but now I have the Lord, and so I've changed. But the people that I'm meeting, they're the same people. The only difference is they haven't yet said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it can't be us that judges other people, because that was me up until the moment I said yes. That was me. Just opens up how I treat people. Speaking to a guy in the neighborhood, he said he was thinking he was going to try and make it over to church. And today, this morning, he said, I'll probably be the guy with the most tats in the service. I said, no, dude, you won't be. And besides, that's just like totally not a thing. That's not like we're not treating people by appearance or any other thing. The Lord has just opened up because he's the one that makes the change in our lives, so I can treat people differently. But also, I want to say that there is a before and then we receive the Lord. But the thing is, for some here this morning or online, that before is still present. Because that before is still present because you haven't yet said Jesus is Lord. I mean, maybe intellectually you're kind of rummaging around the idea. Maybe you believe there's a God. Maybe you believe Jesus. But Jesus is Lord is like totally, radically different. Jesus is Lord is you live that way. I mean, and so then if you're not sure, You ask, like, why am I holding on to? Why am I holding on to this? Why am I not at the point of saying Jesus is Lord? Like, consider. Like, the Lord is saying, think critically, ponder. And as for blessing and these sorts of things, I want to invite you, like, those are conversations to have with the Lord. Lord, you've promised favor. What does that look like? Lord, thank you so much that you've changed my life. You knew me, you know me, and you love me. Consider.